and they told me we'd suffer a lot more travelling that way than if we make the effort to catch tonight's express.
I'll manage, Paddy, he repeated. I've got Frank and Maggie. I'll be all right.
Her eyes were on Frank, pleading for his silence. Then I'll send Mary a telegram now, telling her to expect us tomorrow night. Central Station was bigger than any building the Clearys had ever been inside, a vast glass cylinder which seemed simultaneously to echo and absorb the din of thousands of people waiting beside battered, strapped suitcases and fixedly watching a giant indicator board which men with long poles altered by hand. In the gathering evening darkness, they found themselves a part of the throng, their eyes on the steel concertina gates of Platform 5. Though shut, they bore a large hand-painted sign saying, Gillenbone Mail. On Platform 1 and Platform 2, a terrific activity heralded the imminent departure of the Brisbane and Melbourne night expresses, passengers crowding through the barriers. Soon it was their turn, as the gates of Platform 5 squashed themselves open and the people began eagerly to move. Paddy found them an empty second-class compartment, put the older boys by the windows, and Fee, Maggie, and the baby by the sliding doors, which led into the long corridor connecting compartments. Faces would peer in hopefully in sight of a spare seat, to vanish horrified at the sight of so many young children. Sometimes being a large family was an advantage. The night was cold enough to warrant unstrapping of the big tartan traveling rugs all of the suitcases bore on their outsides. Though the carriage was not heated, steel boxes full of hot ashes lay along the floor, radiating warmth. And no one had expected heating anyway, because nothing in Australia or New Zealand was ever heated.
"How far is it, Daddy?"
Maggie asked as the train drew out, clanking and rocking gently across an eternity of points.
"A long way further than it looked on our atlas, Maggie. 610 miles. We'll be there late tomorrow afternoon."
The boys gasped, but forgot it at the blossoming of a fairyland of lights outside. Everyone clustered at the windows and watched while the first miles flew by, and still the houses did not diminish. The speed increased, the lights grew scattered and finally went out, replaced by a constant flurry of sparks streaming past in a howling wind.